I am indeed Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
I don't know about that. It's getting on to day two.
And with us today, we from our friends at the FAA. The F stands for friendly. Remember that. We have Gary Pocodner, who is a weather tech.
So you're in charge of planning the thunderstorms and scheduling?
Sort of. We're a research group, though, so we're trying to research how to do these things.
Yeah, okay,
There you go.
You're talking about what your background sheet says, automated weather avoidance to advance pilot weather avoidance. But anyway, what does that mean?
We're trying to put more automation into GA cockpits or some of the things we're looking at to help pilots make hazardous avoidance decision-making. As much as weather technology has advanced, we continue to see inadvertent flight into IMC as one of the leading causes of fatalities. So we're continuing to try to find ways to bring in better tools into the cockpit specifically. So our research is focused on the pilot and the cockpit to enhance safety, decision-making, and areas to help.
Well, you're using the word automation in a way I wouldn't use it. I mean, you're going to present information. The final decision is still the pilot.
Ultimately, you're right. We're not doing the piloting, so it's support tools in that sense. But it is automation in the sense, like one of the things we're looking at is a digital co-pilot. So a lot of GA fly single operation, and they don't have the benefit of a guy next to them who can cross-check. So digital co-pilot is using that same idea, except doing it with automation, that it replicates having a co-pilot in there to check some of your weather decision-making and to highlight weather information that you might miss to make sure. So that's one example of cockpit automation that's supporting you. So think of having almost a robot next to you, except it's not a robot. It'll be an app.
Right, and it'll talk to you, say, hey, thunderstorm, bearing distance.
Yeah. Right, you'll set your minimums, you'll set what you're concerned about, and we're looking at different functionality to put in there. So we're actually bringing pilots in the next month. We've put in about 8 weather functions into this existing software that's been developed by the FAA for piloting reasons. Now we're trying to put weather functions in there. We're going to see how they like those 8 functions, and then we'll ask if there are additional functions or decisions where they would like a digital co-pilot to cross-check them or to highlight a notification if they find, you know, you're hitting a minima that you want. So we look for a lot of pilot inputs, which is one of the reasons we're here, is we have a demo of this over at our exhibit booth, and people can actually see some of the initial functions we've put in there and give us some suggestions.
Okay, now, do you envision this as, you said the word app, so something I can throw on my tablet and I don't have to buy any additional hardware?
Exactly. That's the vision right now, is to put it onto an app. So we do the research, and then if we show benefit, we will build a business case and tech transfer it to industry to put it. So I'm just throwing names out there. You know, there's standard ones like ForeFlight may want it or other people, but our idea is we do the research and then we'll tech transfer to move it into operations, and that'll be some company out there that looks at the benefits, the results of our testing, and says, wow, I see a value to this, and that we've put a business case together, and incorporate it.
So that's like the next generation of weather overlay.
It's kind of.
Because now it'll analyze and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, turn left.
Yeah, and it can also do things like one of the functions we have in there now is for runway selection. So it takes both the piloting, it's telling you what the favored runway is, where people are coming in, but it can also set your crosswinds. So it can tell you are the two the same, or are you going to run into issues with the current favored runway and your aircraft. Maybe you have too strong a crosswind and you don't want to use the favored runway. So it can merge both those pieces of information and give the pilot a recommendation. And hopefully it's more as a cross-check. So if you had in your mind you're going to do something, it's just something different. The idea is you'll check like you would with two people disagreeing in the cockpit. You don't. It's not there to be the dictator. It's there to just give you what it thinks.
Okay, well then the first thing I would want to do, if it's recommending runway 90 and I want to land on 27 or something, whatever, I want to ask the word. I just want to say why and have it explained to me.
Exactly. Well, that's what it'll do. It'll tell you like the crosswinds are such and such. So it will know you don't want a crosswind component of X number of knots, and it'll tell you this runway exceeds your minimums that you set, and it'll go, don't use this runway, you know, you're exceeding it. And then you go, oh, it's only by one knot. And maybe you say, I care, maybe you don't. But depending how much margin you put in your minimums. So okay. It will give you that. It will show up on the display exactly why it's making a decision.
Are you using AI at all in this?
There is some AI in there. It will learn as time goes on to get better based on your settings. It's not a super advanced AI right now, but that's somewhere, again, you're talking first iterations right now in research. So again, once we bring pilots in, we'll see what they find is useful and where they want it to expand.
Well, that and the AI technology is evolving so quickly.
Exactly.
Who knows what the final generation will be?
Well, you know, I envision a system on board an aircraft. If you're familiar with the Iron Man series of movies, Robert Downey Jr.'s partner, Jarvis. It could come up. It could come down to that in a computer with an attitude.
I use that as a joke a lot. Since it's digital co-pilot, a lot of pilots fly with their wives, and I go, it'll sit there and yell at you and go, "Get avoid that cloud. Watch this." Right. You know, it'll do that
as
well.
What are you doing that for? Yell,
why are you hitting turbulence? I don't want to shake. Get out of it. So I do joke like that a lot. That you know, because a lot of guys are flying with family, and that's what it's going to replicate if you don't have your wife
there.
That's
if you turn on nagging.
Yeah, exactly.
Brain dead. There is a company out there that was working on digital co-pilot, and I can't remember what they called it.
Goose.
That incorporated checklists.
Right.
Are you going to program that functionality?
Well, the one we have was developed for the FAA by MITRE Corporation that started out, like I said, and we have set things that are already in there, and we're going to build on what was done with that. And things like certain checklists we'll look at. We're trying to be more, like I said, more a co-pilot.
Right.
We think of it more as functions than a checklist, but I think you'd come out about the same that way. But we're actually looking for specific areas where you say you have a task that you're concerned about, that you have trouble making a decision or you're missing notifications. So I'd say it's comparable, but I think we're taking a little different approach because our program's worked on gaps, and our feeling is we look at old accidents, things like that, to see where mistakes occurred or where there's a lack of information or a lack of support, and we address it by a function.
Okay. We're speaking with Gary Pocodner, I believe.
Yep,
I got
said
that
right.
From FAA.
You got it.
So, I mean, taking on weather automation is big enough. I mean, checklists are actually pretty simple after that.
Sure.
So, yeah, okay. So you're bringing in pilots for just input. Are you doing field trials, anything like this?
We will get to that. We have other research going on where we do some demos. This is one that's still preliminary. So after we do what you're talking about in a lab, then we would probably go out and do a beta test. But the first things we do is bring in a lab, and we want to get the function set. Because anytime you put a new function in there, there's always a risk there's a negative that you're not foreseeing. Maybe it's just the number one is you don't want to be distracting. You don't want to overstate. Like sometimes, and I remember even doing this myself, we look at notifications and you see one where the reaction time's really quick and you go, well, that's a perfect notification. Well, not necessarily. If it's really gets your attention, it better be worth getting your attention. Otherwise, it'll take you away from a task that's more important. So you got to make sure whatever notifications you're putting up on the screen or however you're doing it, the priority level or the way it notifies you is in scale with how important it really is. So you don't want to overemphasize.
So you have to classify.
Exactly. Right. So you got to make sure you classify it correct. So something that maybe seems intuitively that it's really good, if it comes on and takes on too high a priority, it may become a distraction and actually cause more harm than it can.
Yeah, like
so
if,
there's
you know,
a lot of testing.
Hey, you're out of coffee notification. Could probably
right, exactly. You don't want that a buzzer going off. Exactly. So and whether you're not flying it, so you got to make sure you're not staring at it too much, that it takes up too much of your displays. There are all sorts of things. You want to keep it in perspective as to its level of importance and where it is in your task list.
This is an odd question. I'm getting a lot of those today.
Yes.
Are you looking at integrating this into flight training simulators as well?
So we're doing a bunch of training, different types of research. We actually have a different thing for training as well as for pre-flight. Right now, digital co-pilot, its envision is just like I said, it's in the cockpit and we're envisioning it more for that. We're looking at some other products that we've got. One's called Flight Profiler that we're thinking can be used both for training as well as for pre-flight to help. One of the gaps we keep seeing with pilots on pre-flight flight is they don't look at their whole flight. They don't. Most pilots like deterministic weather. They want an observation. When they get forecasts, they start to doubt things, and they're not sure how to use it. You know, what is 70% and 80%? And they're not looking and taking advantage of some of those things. So with Flight Profiler, you actually fly your route in 3D, in virtual reality, before you take it, and you actually see where the displays are, and you can shift them in time. And the idea is, what we're trying to get people used to is a forecast is not telling you you're going to hit that weather at that time, which is what too many people do. What it does is it identifies risk, and you got to think of it more as a risk. Because so many times you'll hear, oh, I could have gone. Well, you maybe could have gone, but should you have gone? Those are two different questions, and we continue to emphasize that. So a 90% chance of thunderstorms, 1 in 10, you'll get lucky. Is that a good decision?
No.
It's never worked out for me on the motorcycle doing that, but anyway.
And that's where what we're hoping Flight Profiler will help people see where those risk areas are. It's overlaid on a map, so you actually see where the hazard is relative to your flight, and we're hoping that will help people get a mental model of their entire flight over things they have, because we've run a number of tests and we continue to see where pilots are underestimating how bad conditions are and deteriorating situations at their destination. And there's a lot of products out there that are trying to address it, and it's not getting any better. We've seen scores, 30 to 40% of them are getting it right. They're way under, they're way assuming the situation's much better. And that's why one of the reasons we think they're getting into trouble is they're not making use of these and identifying the risks and understanding them. So we're hoping Flight Profiler will help with that.
Well, it's kind of like having the pilot with 10,000 hours along with you to say, wait a minute.
And if you fly it ahead, it gives you more of a feel. You know, experiential helps as well as just learning. You know, just reading documents or looking at things is different than actually flying your route, going along there, looking at the cities, looking at the map. And now I'm passing St. Louis. Huh, there's a big storm off to my right in St. Louis. I wonder if I got here 10 minutes late or you do it again. Uh-oh. You know, if I leave late, it's right over St. Louis. It's not 10 miles off to the side. So it gives you a much better perspective, and it sticks with you more. If you experience something, it's a little different than just reading it on a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're hoping we'll see a benefit on.
Okay.
We'll see if it works, but that's something we're trying.
All right. Very good. Very good. I want to thank you for joining us.
Sure.
We've been speaking with Gary Picodner from the FAA. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Ed.
And this is EAA Radio.